one's honest. Hey, you've all been wondering, I'm sure, what Noah did with the bees on the ark. No. He had them in the ark hives. My great worry in sharing that this morning is that may be the only thing some of you will take out of this morning. Where am I? Just a couple of bits and pieces. Just a reminder that Richard Brunton will be here on August the 3rd at 1:30 p.m. Just a special meeting. We'll be having it in the auditorium. We've invited a number of, Warren's been really busy inviting a number of other churches, and they're very warm, and even Elliot and Sarah have been talking to one or two churches as well, so there probably will be quite a few visitors here. So August the 3rd, keep in mind, and I think it'll be a very special meeting. He will be talking about the awesome power of blessing, so very important, I think. If you know somebody who'd be interested, yeah, keep in mind, bring them along. And the other one is just to let you know well in advance, but we've got another meeting finally organized with Niall Marsh on August the 30th. So if you just have a bit of room in your prayer for that, August the 30th, it's a wee way away. That's a Thursday at 2 o'clock. So we'll be having that meeting there. what I want to talk to you this morning about is something that it's a theme that's been on my mind and heart for quite a long time. And that is this whole deal of spiritual warfare. Yeah, some of us don't really want to know about it. But the reality is that we are, whether we want it or whether we don't want it, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, when we got saved, when we encountered Christ as our Lord and Savior, we got thrust into the middle of the biggest battle that the world or humanity or the universe has ever known. It's the battle between good and evil, light and darkness, God and Satan. And we're thrust right into the middle of it, whether we like it or not. That's where we are, and that's where we live our life. And as the end of the age gets closer, not the end of the world, the end of the age gets closer, that battle is heating up more and more and more. And we will see more and more of the enemies working. Even now in our own society, we're witnessing a huge disintegration of society as we know it here in New Zealand. Mm. I want to tell you, it's not governments that are behind it. It's the evil one that's behind it. And so we're in this battle, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. But the other thing I want to assure you is this, that as we approach the end of the age, God is pouring out His Spirit in unprecedented ways. There's a move of God on the face of the earth today that is unprecedented in human history. There is a reaping going on in the world today that we have never known before. Maybe not in New Zealand, but around the world. And God is wanting to pour His Spirit out in New Zealand in the same way that He's doing around the world in China and Africa and all kinds of places like that. So we can expect that God will pour out His Spirit upon us as we seek His face more and more and more. So there's the two things. There's a battle, but there's also huge amounts of blessings that are waiting God's people. When Jesus died, He died to dismantle, 1 John 3:8, dismantle or destroy the works of Satan. The blood of Jesus Christ will dismantle every single work of Satan that there is. No work of Satan can stand against a Spirit-filled, believing person who stands against Him in the name of Jesus. It's all got to go as far as he's concerned, because the kingdom of God will be extended. And it will be extended with force. We have nothing to fear from Satan. In fact, Satan has everything to fear from a believing believer. We have nothing to fear from him. God wants his children to stand. Let me just talk for just a couple of minutes about... earlier in the year, I spoke on two different topics. I spoke on fasting. And the reason I spoke on that is as a leadership team, we felt it was important that we as a group come to grips with this whole deal of spiritual warfare. Because to be effective in God, we need to take on all that God has for us. And it's been so good to hear many of you that are doing this. I mean, nobody wants to, but many of you are taking up Tuesdays for Thursdays. And you're doing the Tuesday thing on fasting. Some of you can't fast from food, which is fine, and you're doing other things. And I just want to encourage you in that. If you haven't started yet, and I encourage you to do it. Because if we want to win, you're not going to win without sacrifice. We'll go into that a bit more. And prayer cells, Viv, where is she? Good to hear you wherever you are. Pray, put your hand up against. Oh, there you go. I didn't even know. Good to hear. Thank you for that. Your prayer cells is another thing. See, all of these things are weapons that God is giving us to defeat God's what the evil one is doing, helping us to dismantle what the evil one is doing. And I encourage you, if you haven't done that yet, grab a prayer cell. I mean, just on fasting, Jesus said, your Father who sees in what is done in secret will reward you. And I want to say, there are so many rewards that we will not have if we don't fast. Isn't that right? Yes. He said, well, I mean, if we don't do the work, we're not going to get the reward. So why would we want to forfeit the blessings of God by not fasting? I mean, we're going to step into eternity one day. Some of us, it's pretty close. Some of us feel like it's pretty close. So why not go up with a blaze of glory? Why not take a few more with us? Amen? So fasting, and even on the prayer cells, he special promises for prayer cells or prayer partners. He says, truly I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, not two or three, not five or six or half a dozen, but it's a special promise for two or three. Whatever they ask for will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Well, why would we want to forfeit that? Where two or three gather my name, there am I with them. Why would we want to forfeit that special presence of God? You know, Viv was just delightful to hear answers to prayer already. Wonderful. So I encourage you, if you haven't gone on these journeys, we are in a battle. And what we're trying to do is equip you and us to be effective in battling against everything that the evil one would throw at us. Now, having said that, let me just read you a portion of scripture that you're all familiar with. And as I read it, count the number of times the word stand comes in. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. You may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything to
stand.
Stand firm then. Four times. God wants a standing army. Amen? We never need to get knocked down. We never need to get knocked out of the fight. We never need to be. But if we do, and we do get knocked down, God wants us to get up again and stand. He's a God of victory. He knows nothing else other than victory. Amen. Yeah. He's a powerful, wonderful God. And all he wants for us is victory in Jesus' name. Four times to stand. We are called to struggle or to wrestle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're called to struggle or to wrestle against the enemy. What does that mean? It means it's an effort. It means if we don't struggle and we don't wrestle, we are a conquered and defeated people. Go back to 1940-something or other. New Zealand is fighting the Japanese. Australia is fighting Japanese. Britain and the United States fighting. Why? Because we struggled against an enemy that was seeking to dominate. And there was a huge price to pay. Had we not fought, had we not stood our ground, what language would we be speaking? That's right. What about Britain? What language would they be speaking had they not paid a huge price and stood against the German people? What language would they be speaking? That's right. What about David Bain, languishing in a prison? Had he not fought for his freedom, where would he be today? He'd be in prison. That's right. And you see, for us as God's people, it's the same principle. If we don't fight, if we don't wrestle, if we don't struggle against the evil one, we are a defeated people. We are a conquered people. We are an enslaved people. And in this warfare, there is no middle ground. There is no ceasefire zone. There's no safe places to hide. And that's the reason we're encouraging you to take up the weapons of warfare so that we're not passive in our battle against the enemy and letting him walk all over us. Again, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the unseen spiritual forces that are arrayed against everything that God wants to do in our world. Now, it's not governments, it's not businesses, it's not other countries, and it's not Donald Trump. We need to see Satan as the destroyer of our families. We need to see him as the destroyer of people's lives, the destroyer of cities, of countries, and of churches. When you see a dead church, or a church that is not walking in and experience all that God has for us, for it, I can tell you who's behind it. I want to just spend a little bit of time as I conclude by talking to you about a really important aspect of defeating Satan. And the reason I want to talk about it is because in this battle, there's only one person left standing at the end. That's why God wants us to stand. Only one left standing. And he wants it to be God's people. Listen to what he says. Before I do, let me read to you something that Warren Wiersbe says. If you don't know Warren Wiersbe, I think he's a theologian, but he's really feet on the ground and simple and practical. This is what he says. The danger on the battlefield is that we do not take our enemy seriously and therefore fail to put on all of the armor of God. By faith, you put the armor on through prayer, which must be done at the beginning of every day. Never underestimate the strategy and strength of the devil. Isn't that powerful? Never underestimate the strategy or strength of the devil. Here's my key verse. God spoke this very deeply into my spirit a number of weeks ago. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Very simple. You see, he starts that passage off by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord. See, if we're not strong in God, how powerful are we going to be against the evil one? Finally, be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord. So how do we get strong? I wrestled with this. I said, Lord, you want me to be strong? How do I get strong in God? I thought of all the practical things. I read the word, I pray, and all this kind of stuff. And I was asleep one night. Away one night because I couldn't sleep, which is different than sleeping. And God spoke to my spirit. So how do you get strength? Isaiah 40:31. They who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those people that wait on the Lord will learn what it is to mount up with wings as eagles. They will learn what it means to run and not be weary. They will learn what it means to walk and not faint. They will learn what it means to be strong when they're feeling weak. They will learn what it means to get back in the race when they feel they're out of the race. They will feel that they have purpose when they feel there is no purpose. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Now don't ask me how you wait on the Lord, because I don't know how. But I do know this, the more I do it, the better I become at it. And Scripture doesn't really say how to do it. It just says to do it. Wait on the Lord. Shall renew their strength. Think of David. The background is this. David has his army off fighting and stuff, sort of. Comes back to his village of Ziklag. It's burned to the ground. All of their families of his army are taken away captive. All of their goods are taken away captive. There's nothing but smoking ruins. And they ride or walk into this village, and they're stunned. And then as they're milling around, picking among the bits and pieces that are there, a murmur grows up among the men. David's responsible. We need to stone him. Can you picture yourself in that situation? Losing everything. This is what it says, 1 Samuel 30:6. David was greatly distressed, as it would be, because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in his spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. The question is, how do you find strength when you're facing total and utter and absolute devastation and hopelessness? How do you find strength?
Read the Word.
Read the Word. Well done. There you go. There's the answer. Well, an answer. David found strength in the Lord. I can picture what David would be doing. He'd be saying, guys, just give me some time. And I can see him wandering off, finding a stone, sitting on the stone, or maybe kneeling by it. Maybe saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I'm utterly devastated. But what are you up to? You've got to speak to me. You've got to give me something that lets me know that you're involved in all of this. And you've got to show me your plans and your purposes. Because you see, when David came out of that time with the Lord, he was strengthened enough to say, to gather his troops together, to give them strength and to go and get those people and he totally routed them and brought back every single child and wife, and all of their goods were all returned to him. Why? Because he found strength in God. And God turned it into a great victory. David found strength in the Lord his God. I want you to think about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. Hezekiah was a very godly king. Hezekiah found himself in a position that he was being invaded by a massive army, and they were outnumbered by huge numbers. It was absolutely hopeless. And they were feeling helpless and hopeless before all of this. There's a whole lot we can say about it, but let me just say this, that Hezekiah got aside with the Lord for God to speak to him about the circumstance. And God gave him a very strange plan. He was strengthened enough to be able to galvanize the people, to give them the plan and to put it into action. And as they did this, it says that as they appointed men to sing and to praise the Lord, and as they went out before the head of his army, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. But you see, what happened was, he just spent a bit of time in God's presence, waiting on God, waiting for God's word. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And you see, when we are faced with circumstances that are way beyond our control, that leave us hopeless and helpless, that's the time to get aside with God and say, okay, God, you've got to speak to me. You've got to show me what you're doing. You've got to give me hope. Finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Last one. Paul. He's in prison, bound by two guards, facing trial, facing execution. Here's what he says. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. The Lord stood up by my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Isn't that amazing? So not only did God strengthen him, but he gave him ability to speak the word of God to his captors. So when we're in a situation where it's overwhelming and the evil one's laughing and he says, I've got you exactly where I want you, God wants to turn that into victory. God wants to strengthen you and turn it into victory. Because he makes all things work together for good. He only knows how to lead us in victory. Never defeat. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Don't be passive. If you're not fasting, I encourage you, take it up as a discipline. A weekly discipline. And if you don't do it, that's okay. It's not a big deal. If you can't fast, do something different. You don't have to do a big fast. It could be one thing. Just you do what you want. Start at the level you want to do it. But just do it. Don't be passive. See, if you've been hurt and you've been knocked down, God wants you to get up. God wants to bring healing. If you're battling unforgiveness, God wants to teach you how to forgive. Who? You said something about forgiveness this morning. Somebody, yeah. Wonderful. That was such a testament. Marvelous. You see, if we're battling that, God wants us to get out from under. Spend much time waiting on the Lord, listening to God. What is he doing? And strength will come. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. God bless you, and a fight for the Lord, eh? Victory. Praise the Lord.